Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got so much college foosball today to discuss. Missouri and Vanderbilt, Kansas and Kansas State. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of my favorite people in the media, Matt Tate. He covers the Jayhawks. Matt, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Matt, I have to ask you this question. We have been asking everybody this for the last couple of weeks. There is a word that everybody struggles with spelling. My word is inconvenience. Or convenience, excuse me. I cannot spell convenience. I guess inconvenience, I struggle with that one too. What's your word? What is the word that you struggle with that you can't spell?
I don't like talking about it as a writer. It doesn't make sense to tell you that, but I will. It's the words that have the double letters that I can't keep straight, like broccoli or vacuum. I two C's, two U's, two C's, two L's. I don't know. I don't know as I'm sitting here telling you this. So I think that qualifies, right?
Okay, no, absolutely. Whatever your word is, no, I appreciate it. All right, let's just get this out of the way because I know Rob is going to, like, ask him. I got to ask you about Darren Peterson. I have never seen Rob this excited about a basketball prospect. You operate in these circles. You talk to people about him. I saw Greg Gurley when I saw you at the KU game against Fresno State. Gurley told me that he's the best freshman that they have ever had. You have been covering Kansas basketball for a long time. Have you seen this hype? It feels like the most hype prospect since Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. And I think he's so deserving, not only because of his talent and his skills. I mean, you know, you've heard maybe the comparisons between him and Kobe, and not Kobe the killer that we all know as the, you know, MVP of the league and the Lakers, but just the mindset, right? Sort of the Mamba mentality thing. I mean, for me, when you look at Darren, that's what it's all about, man. It's all about the fact that this guy, like a lot of these great freshmen that KU has had, and there have been a lot of them, they've still come to Lawrence and shown up on campus and been like, man, I'm a kid. I'm going to do college, and I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to jack around a little bit, and then I'm going to ball, and I'm going to do whatever. Darren's here for one reason, and that's to work and to ball out and to get better and to be the best player he can. I'm not saying he's not having fun, but that's fun for him. And so when you throw that mindset and that approach onto talent that's as good as they've ever recruited at any position – yeah, you're talking about easily the best player they've had as a freshman. And I say that, and a lot of people say that, knowing that doesn't mean he's going to be 30 and 12 and 8 every night, right? Like, he's still going to have nights where, whether it's something the other team does to take him out of this or that, or he just doesn't knock down shots, he's still going to have some nights where he's, you know, not – amazing, but I think he has way more amazing nights coming than he has average nights, and I think he's going to be every bit as much as he's been hyped up to be. I think the dude is just he's just got it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't even really know what realistic expectations are now at this point. And maybe this is just from being around Rob. Like, I asked Rob, what does he think he can be? He told me John Wall. It was the answer that he gave me. Like, he thinks he can be John Wall. That's what I mean. I don't even know what realistic expectations are right now for him.
Right, right. Yeah, that's it's hard. It is hard. I don't hate that one. Now, having said that, John Wall was like everything, right? I mean, he was not only number one pick, but he was killing it at Kentucky, and he was unbelievable, and at times looked like he was unguardable. And I don't think Darren's quite as fast as John Wall. So maybe if you're looking to compare in terms of just pure skills and game, I think maybe he falls a little short there. But could he be the number one pick? Yeah, you bet. Could he be an All-American? You bet. Could he be, you know, the best player on one of the blue blood teams in the country? Yeah, he already is. So, you know, that's not a terrible comparison, but you're right. I mean, I think it's going to be cool to see where he sort of sets the bar for himself right out of the gate, starting with tonight, right? I mean, they have a really good Louisville team in a scrimmage tonight down in Louisville, and it's on the ACC network, so people will get to watch it. And then not far from now, they're playing at Carolina, and then all the real other games start coming. And, you know, it gets real in a hurry. So within, you know, by Thanksgiving, he'll have set whatever that bar is for himself. And then at that point, you base the rest of the season on that. And those are your expectations. So I think he's going to get his shots. I think he's going to get to his spots. I think he's going to, against most competition, get whatever he wants. He draws an incredible crowd. And the other really cool thing about him is, as much as he'll get shots and he'll get points and he'll get his, he's such a willing passer. He's such a willing team guy that, you know, he's not going to force up jumpers over three people, triple teamed or anything like that. I mean, he'll just move the ball and make the right play because, again, he wants to be the best player he can be, and that's part of it. So I think give it 3 weeks before you start worrying about, you know, exactly what to expect. Because right now, I think guys like Rob, and there are a million of them out there, I think they're expecting, all right, so he's going to get 50 every night, and he's going to maybe make me cry with something he does at least once every game, right? Like, that's probably where the expectation is right now. And that's fair right now, but let's give it a few weeks and then maybe reset it.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Tate. He covers Kansas, just going through some of their top stories. We got our Darren Peterson portion of the week out. We actually have a segment every week where we let Rob get 2 minutes to talk about Darren Peterson. So we gave you 5 minutes this week, so I'm happy about that. All right, Matt, let's just start with this. It feels like it's time for Lance Leipold. He has checked so many boxes at the University of Kansas. A lot of the progress that they have made as a program, whether it's been on the field or off the field, I think are directly related to Leipold and the kind of coach that he is. There's one major box left unchecked. He's never beat K-State. I think they're the better team. They're at home. They have the better quarterback. It feels like it's time to finally beat K-State.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And people have been saying that. You know, people have been saying that all year. People have been saying that all summer. People have been saying that for the last couple of years, really, because, as you well know, they should have won the last two games. A dropped interception that would have put that one away 2 years ago, and then last year, if Jalen Daniels doesn't fumble late, they'd probably win over in Manhattan. And so, you know, there's been, and I'm guilty of it, there's been a lot of talk after those close calls about, well, the gap is narrowed and the gap is closing, and, you know, fans get tired of hearing about that, and I understand why, but I also think it's realistic. I mean, I think that's what's happening. The gap is closing, and a lot of the credit for that goes to Lance, but you can't credit a head coach or a program or a quarterback or anybody too much until they actually get the job done. So they got to do it. It is absolutely – I don't want to say now or never, because never is ridiculous, but – it certainly feels like the time has arrived, like you just said. They're the better team on paper. I think they are better at multiple positions. K-State's also hurt. They're missing arguably their best player for the game in Dylan Edwards. There's just so many reasons to think that this one lines up in KU's favor, and yet as I'm sitting here, you know, less than 24 hours away from kickoff, I'm still kind of scratching my head going, but why don't I think it's going to be easy? And I think it comes back to the whole thing that we have experienced in the past, you know, those of us who've been around and gray-haired like I am, like, you know, when KU ripped off 14 consecutive Big 12 title championships in basketball, like, that was the deal, right? It was like, well, they're always going to find a way. They were down two games in the standings with four to go one year, I think, and found a way to win a share of it. And it sort of became its own mystique. I think that's what K-State has going with this streak. It's you know, that dropped interception shouldn't have happened. The fumble shouldn't have happened, but there they were, Kansas State walking off the field both of those times with smiles because they just know how to win this game, and that streak is taking on a life of its own. And so you can't disregard that. I think it's hard to look at that as anything tangible, but it's also really hard to say it doesn't exist. I mean, that's a long time. That's a lot of years in a row. And so I do think it has to happen now, and I think if it does, it'll feel great, and KU will be overjoyed, and the fans will love it, especially being at home. If it doesn't, though, I think the feeling of devastation is way bigger than the feeling of euphoria will be if they do get the win. I mean, this will be a really tough one to swallow if they can't get it done.
I was just going to get you out of there with that. I just, from being around Rob is a season ticket holder. Rob's at all of these games. Rob is KU through and through. Rob will be absolutely devastated if he is walking out of the new stadium and they still can't beat Kansas State. Like, I think K-State needs this game a lot too, just for bowl eligibility. And this year they've had a down year, so you can still say you've beat Kansas. But just from a mental standpoint, I do think it will set in for a lot of people like Rob. I mean, this is the year to beat K-State. And if Lance couldn't beat them with a six-year quarterback at home in this K-State team, when will we ever beat K-State? That has to set in if they lose.
Fair question. And yeah, it'll weigh heavily on them. And unfortunately for Kansas, man, I think this is a game that's sort of a make or break for the entire season, not just because of the rivalry aspect, but, and I say this and I want to give them credit because I think over the time that Lance has been in town, they have been incredibly resilient, good, bad. They bounced back, they flushed last week and they moved forward and they've done that and they've done that and they've done that. I think if they lose this game, though, I think it's the difference between 5-7 and missing a bowl and 7-5 and being happy as hell. I mean, I just think that you lose this one and the mental blow to your psyche, to your program, to everybody involved, it's going to be a lot to overcome in the immediate but also in the long term. And then after that, you look and you say, okay, well, Oklahoma State's trash. We got them at home. But after that, can we beat any of these other teams, including a couple on the road? I don't know if they will be willing to or ready to answer that, you know. So I think it's not just a big game to end the streak, and it's not just a big game because it's a rival. I think it's a big game for this season and their chances at a bowl game. I really do.
That is our guy, Matt Tate, joining us on the show today. He covers the Jayhawks. Matt, you're one of my favorite people, man. I'm happy to have you on the show today, man. Really appreciate your time.
Man, thank you for saying that. It means a lot, and you know I'm always happy to come on, so thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Matt Tate joining us on the show today, man. I really like Matt Tate, man. He's one of my favorite people in the business, man. I really like Matt Tate. Happy to have him on the show. Rob, I don't want to oversell your emotion. And maybe I'm just placing this emotion on you because I can just sit back and I can make fun of either side. Like, this is as fun of a Sunflower Showdown that I can remember. K-State's down, so if they lose, I know that you guys are going to give K-State pain. And if there is a fan base that you can trigger and really just twist the knife, it's K-State fan. They will be unhinged on social media if you win. Now, on the other side, the level of devastation that I imagine you and your fellow brothers, guy Braden Turner, my guy Top City, Kevin, Jayhawk Talk, those guys, the level of devastation you guys will feel if this very mediocre K-State team comes into your house, your new building. I know you've had this thing circled for years because you got to remember last year you guys didn't have a home game. You've had this game circled for 2 years. If they lose this game at home to this K-State, I don't know if you go to another KU football game this year. You might sell the remainder of your season tickets. You might be out.
I think it works, but I can't speak for the K-State part. You're right. I think K-State fans will be up in arms that they lose the streak, and they will be what they are on social media. But the devastation, I think Matt Tate said it perfectly. It will be hard for the team and the fan base to not let the devastation of 1 week become a problem in 2, 3, 4 weeks. Like, you couldn't beat this team. You couldn't do it in this building. You got to sell out. You got everything. It was hard times walking out of the old stadium for the final time when K-State had beaten KU in a game that KU, with a backup quarterback, probably should have won. But they had a backup quarterback, so the devastation was left to a certain level. This one, with Jalen Daniels, who's been a focal point of ire from the K-State fan base, if they can't get over the hump this time, you're right. The weather will be reminiscent of the feeling in Lawrence walking out of that building.
Yeah, man. I told you, I'm a neutral party. If I had to bet on somebody, I'd bet on KU. I do feel like this is the year.
But real quick about Matt Tate, no need to go break. Did you hear what he said about Darren Peterson? He called him Kobe.
Okay.
He liked the John Wall comparison, too.
He did like the John Wall comparison.
He said maybe not as fast, but he liked the comparison.
No, he did like the – I'm okay.
I assume you're locked into ACC Network tonight?
No, I will not be watching the Kansas basketball scrimmage. Never. There will never be a time where I watch a Kansas basketball scrimmage that's not against Missouri. I've already watched one in my life. I don't need to keep watching them. Now, when KU starts playing real teams, I'll be locked in. They play North Carolina in like 2 weeks. We will be locked in. North Carolina's got a KU kid at point guard. I want to see him go up against Darren Peterson. I'm locked in for the real games. But I don't want you to come in here after he dropped 31 on Pitt State. Come on now. What are we doing here? Yes, he'd be a really good MIAA player. I know. I don't want you coming in here doing that. When they play North Carolina, we're locked in. When they go to that tournament in Vegas in a month, hey, sing the praises of Darren Peterson. I'm actually excited about KU's early season schedule for that reason. They play like 8 real games in November and December. Like legitimate games. They play Duke, North Carolina, Missouri, the games in Vegas. Like they
got UConn at home again too.
They play real teams. So I'm excited to see if the kid can play. I mean, the way we've been talking about, I saw him once in high school, but this is a little bit different, man. It's seeing him at a big level. So no, I am very much excited about it. Rob, let's just go to 25. Let's not take a break. So let me play this for you guys. I want to play this for you. I know we haven't talked a lot of Chiefs today. You guys probably understand the why we haven't talked a lot of Chiefs today, but we will obviously on Monday on actual game day. But I think college football, I think it's the bigger story today between the Chiefs and college football. So I want to read this to you. I think this will be of note for you guys. So Terry McLaurin was a full participant in practice. Deebo Samuel was also a full participant in practice. So the expectation is that both of those guys are going to play. Now for the Chiefs, important to note, Trey Smith did not practice today. And obviously Josh Simmons, he is not there. He did not practice as well. So Chiefs offensive line kind of either having some injuries or some issues off the field. So certainly something to note when talking about both of the teams. Let's play what Terry McLaurin had to say. He feels like he's getting back to himself. He should be healthy for this one.
Yeah, I've never dealt with that injury before, so I didn't really know what to expect. I just trusted the medical staff and everything just to try to stay according to the plan that was laid out for me. And you know, as you go, like, I'm an explosive athlete, so you know, a lot of things that part of my game I need to feel that are 100% before I could put myself out there, because I'm not only hurting the team, but I'm hurting myself. So that's part of it as well, being able to accelerate and run by people and slam on the brakes. So that's my game, you know what I mean? So, my injury hindered a lot of that, but I feel really good right now.
We don't have to have the entire discussion again, 913-586-7965, but do you guys think that Rashee Rice is better than Terry McLaurin? I'm just curious. Like, I'm not telling you that I think he is or not. I think you guys know at least where I have Rashee Rice. I think he's somewhere in 25 to 30. And that's not a disrespect to where he is. I just think there's a lot of really good receivers in the National Football League. And just based right now on what he's done, his resume, I just can't put him super high up on my list at wide receiver. I would have Terry McLaurin he's pretty decent on the list. So I'm just curious because we were having this conversation and some of you were telling me that you think he's better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's better than this guy. I'm curious where Terry McLaurin kind of sits in this conversation. Terry McLaurin is 30 years old. He's been very, very consistent in each of the last five seasons. He has had at least 75 catches, at least 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns in each of the last 5 seasons. He's having a down year right now, just been dealing with injuries. That's probably why the Commanders were kind of hesitant and wanting to pay him. I'm just curious, text line 913-586-7965, who you would have higher up on your wide receiver power rankings. Would it be Terry McLaurin or would it be Rashee Rice?
So I'm actually going to say Rashee Rice. And part of that is that Terry just dealt with injury history. I think I'd take Rashee Rice right now, but I think both those players, we talk a lot about the wash in the NFL, and we've talked a lot about the same thing with wide receiver. Like 1 through 9 is star-studded. 10 through like 31, I feel like is kind of just what do you prefer? Do you like this trade? Do you like that? Like it's very interchangeable. I think they're both in that middle grouping. But I think when Rashee Rice is playing at his highest level and Terry McLaurin is playing at his highest level, I think I would take Rashee Rice. But I think both these guys are somewhere between 18 to 30 in the NFL. Like I think that's kind of the window they fall in. Maybe 15 to 30, that's kind of their grouping. I feel like Terry McLaurin is a good player. I think Rashee Rice might have a higher ceiling than Terry, but at their best, I think they're close, and I would lean Rashee Rice.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly could see the argument, I guess, on the other side. I guess, at least for me, I find it kind of difficult to rank Rashee Rice just because we just have such a limited body of work. I mean, we basically have one season of Rashee Rice, and he just missed a lot of time, and I think that's kind of hard to not factor in to your evaluation and where he is. Like I said, we don't have to have the exact same argument that we had last week. I was just curious now with this information about Terry McLaurin. You guys know at least the stance that I'm taking right now when talking about these NFL games. I'm not going into it with disrespect for any team in the league. The league is just, these teams are so even right now, where once you get outside the top 3 or 4 teams, and you probably will put Kansas City in that conversation with the way that they've played over the last couple of weeks, man, there's just not really much of a difference between number 5 and number 20 right now in the National Football League. I think the Commanders are one of the teams that's very firmly in that category. I know they don't have their starting quarterback, but if you're going to have back Terry McLaurin, you're also going to have back Deebo Samuel. I like their rookie running back, the Kroski Merritt kid. He's been fine so far this season. Like, the Commanders are not terrible, and this game could be close heading into the fourth quarter, given how things could potentially play. So that's just kind of where I am right now. The National Football League has just been weird for the last couple of weeks, so I'm treating everybody with respect. I think you got to.
I think I was driving in this morning listening to Briscoe. He was on Cody and Gold, catching the podcast page. And I think he said something that's like kind of sums up how I feel about the Chiefs and Commanders game. Because the Raiders, I feel like, are a team that I did not earn my respect. I was saying they have no chance going in on Sunday, and it played out somehow worse than I imagined. The Raiders are the Jets. They're just on a different coast. I think the Commanders are a competent, well-run organization. I think they have a good head coach. I think they have a good offensive-minded offensive coordinator. I think they have a capable quarterback, albeit a backup. I think he's capable. I don't think he's, you know, oh my goodness, can you believe they have so-and-so? It's not like Matt McGloin from years ago. Like, he's a capable quarterback, and they have quality weapons. But I do think the Chiefs are a class above them. But if you're a fan that's hesitant to believe the Chiefs will just smoke this team or cover the 12.5, I think that fear and trepidation comes from the fact that the Chiefs against competent, well-run organizations are more competitive than games like Oakland. So I think the fact that the Commanders are a real NFL franchise has fans a little bit worried about this one, but I do feel like the Chiefs are going to show they're a class above the Commanders, just maybe a half class, not the full length they showed against the Raiders.
I looked this up because I was like genuinely curious. I was curious over the last 5 years who's been better between Terry McLaurin and Mike Evans, because we just kind of use Mike Evans as like a guide on this show. So these are the numbers. I looked this up while you were talking. So Terry McLaurin, over the last 5 years, he has 402 catches. Mike Evans has 374 catches. Mike Evans has 5,424 yards. Terry McLaurin has 5,460 yards. So McLaurin has more catches, more yards than Mike Evans in fewer games than Mike Evans. But the thing from Mike Evans, and like, I think this is where I just don't give Mike Evans nearly enough credit. Terry McLaurin, over that same stretch, so he has more catches, more yards. Terry McLaurin has 31 touchdowns during that same time frame. Mike Evans has 57 touchdowns during that time frame. That is a significant difference, where it just goes to show you how valuable Mike Evans has been in the red zone, where he's a guy, we always talk about like jump balls. We want like a jump ball receiver. There really ain't that many of them in the league. Mike Evans has been one of those kind of guys. On first and goal from the 8-yard line, you can throw it up to Mike Evans, and more than likely he's coming down with, and that's why he's just been a touchdown machine the last 5 years.
I mean, Mike, this is why I think he's a Hall of Famer. Like, there's little notes about Mike Evans' stat pack that you go, oh, he's doing that. And this is not even to discount Terry McLaurin. At their peak, you would take Mike Evans
100%,
over.
100%. Like, no, I was just using, I just was thinking of a receiver that we always kind of talk about that I probably wouldn't have in my top 10, but obviously people think is a very, very good receiver. So I picked Mike Evans and I looked at it and just, I'm looking at his touchdown numbers, 31 touchdowns to 57 touchdowns over the same amount of time. Just goes to show you just how productive Mike Evans has been. Coming up in about 30 minutes, our guy Nate Taylor is going to join us in studio. We'll get his thoughts on all things Chiefs. Actually, you know what? We haven't talked enough Chiefs today. Why don't we do that coming up on the other side? We got Kurtz. We got more K-State. My goodness, Rob, we have so much college football today. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rye really loaded up our plate today. We got John Kurtz on the show. I don't feel like we ever have John Kurtz on the show when things are going great. Like if K-State was 7-0, we wouldn't have a K-State guest on the show. I guess they also wouldn't be 7-0. Got to factor that in as well. How you doing, John?
This is exactly the point that I made last time. I'm glad that I've finally gotten through to you. But, you know, well, in fairness, I guess they are – a team that is on a winning streak-ish, I guess. Can we call it that? I mean, it's better than it was the last time I talked to you, at least.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas State is definitely playing better. A point that I made to kick off the show, and I'm curious to get your thoughts, are I think both coaches really need this game for very different reasons. For Lance Leipold, it's time. Like, you've grown this program, the advancements that you've made, there's still a major box to check, beating K-State. If you're Chris Klieman in this, I mean, this is not a banner year for K-State. They're 3-4. If they lose this game, making a bowl game is going to be difficult this year. Like, you really, really got to get to it. if you're not going to hand people who have contributed great money for NIL, for basketball and football, if you're not going to hand them a Big 12 championship, if you're not going to hand them a 9-win season, you at least got to hand them a win over KU, where I think it's been disappointing so far for K-State. It will be a bad season if they lose on Saturday.
Oh, I mean, this is infinitely more important than a bowl game. You know, I mean, maybe some fans don't share that attitude. That's actually a really interesting question to the fan base, because I think the crossover between fans that actually care about a bowl game, that's the same crowd that would care about beating Kansas more than about anything else with the season. I just, you know, it's 2025, dude. I if they get to 6 wins, great, whatever. I'll watch the bowl game, but it doesn't matter at all. But, you know, when it comes to maintaining something that the fans and the program takes as much pride in as this streak, I mean, that's to me, it's like the last stand to accomplish anything really tangible that's realistic this year. I mean, could they only have 2 conference losses. Could they win out and get involved in the tiebreakers and, like, potentially, I suppose that's mathematically possible. I don't think anybody believes that that's realistic. So this is the last thing that you could do to, you know, tangibly make people happy and at least somewhat excited about something that happened this season. So, yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, you've got a big faction of the fan base that is very out on what is happening with Chris Kleiman and company right now. I think there's frustration over the staff remaining the same, you know, not enough turnover there, bad offensive coordinator hire, just some things getting stale. It feels like Kleiman maybe doesn't have the same fire that he's had before. And then you've got Colin Klein sitting out there as the offensive coordinator of the number 3 team in the country right now, who's probably going to get a Power 4 job in this offseason. And so there's a lot of unrest with the fans right now. I would suggest Chris Kleiman would be doing himself a favor with fan sentiment to win tomorrow for sure.
One thing is very interesting, John. You named a whole lot of people. You didn't name the quarterback in that conversation. Now, he has turned things around, but you can't play worse than he played against Arizona.
Well, I mean, yeah, Avery Johnson, I think, is, I don't know if I would put him like number 1 on the list in terms of like problems that this team has had, but he is certainly high on the list, and it's just everything's worked in concert together, right? They missed on a lot of things. The offensive line hasn't been very good, and they spent big in the portal on the offensive line. I mean, they brought in a lot of guys. They went to Penn State, Ohio State, USC, like, to go get offensive lineman transfers, and hasn't worked out. Now, some of that, George Fitzpatrick, who was going to be their plug-and-play starting left tackle, you know, he gets more or less – he has a heat-related incident that has kept him out the entire season. Like, the dude's not going to play this year. So, you know, that's some bad luck. The rest of the guys just haven't worked. The running back room, like, everything that's gone on with Dylan Edwards, that's been a mess, right? And he has barely been out on the field at all to play with Avery. You've had some injuries in the wide receiver core. There's been a ton of drops. I mean, other guys have let him down too. So I want to say that and kind of preface the conversation about Avery. But I do think that Avery's just sort of emblematic of the team. Like, he's clearly very talented. He has his moments. He has some real bright spots, but there's not much consistency. And there's just not like a toughness or a, like, I'm going to go do this for you guys kind of thing with him. Like, I always tell people when they ask me about Avery, I just say, like, go watch Sam Leavitt at Arizona State play. Go watch Brendan Sorsby at Cincinnati play. Go watch Barrett Bachmeyer at BYU play. Like, those guys, granted, bigger, right? They're thicker than Avery, so they can take a little bit more as far as, you know, hits, but, like, they are playing at 150% all the time. You'd never doubt that. They go throw their body on the line. Avery Johnson was running for a first down that he would have had easily against TCU, and he slid like a yard and a half in front of the first down marker, didn't get the first down. I mean, that's like what you're missing, I think, really, with him, that is not driving this team forward right now. So, you know, some of the numbers look nice. He's had some moments. He makes some great plays, but he's just not a guy that has, like, the it factor that's going to, like, be a force multiplier on the team.
What's the word you would use to describe what a loss would mean? So I was asking Rob this question before we called you, and he used the word devastated. Like, Rob will be crushed at home, season ticket holder, new stadium. They think they got the better team, better quarterback. They're the favorite in this game. Kansas State will be, or KU will be, devastated. What's the word you would use to describe losing to Kansas for K-State?
I just think, like, rage, you know, anger. I think that's what will really happen with the fan base. Like, I think right now there's some level of, like, apathy, and it's been funny talking to people this week on both sides. Like, I don't think anybody is confident in their team to win this game. Both of these teams have been really bad in one score games this year. Like, with the game on the line, can you go make a play? Like, I certainly don't feel confident in K-State doing that. So I think fans are like, you know, just a little, almost like half expecting it. A lot of people, I'll be honest, I'm expecting it. You know, I told everybody after the Arizona loss on our 3-month podcast, I said, get your affairs in order. Whatever you got to do, call somebody, make sure you're prepared for October 25th. So I have long been ready for this, but yeah, I just think this will be the one that really sets people off in terms of like anger, and the heat will get turned up on just like the frustration with Chris Klieman. I mean, look, like, you know, no one's having you can't have a realistic conversation about firing the guy because of his relationship with Gene Taylor, the buyout, like all that stuff. But like, people will be, this is like the thing, you know, that'll get the pitchforks out from people. If you take away the streak and force them to have to deal with now all of their coworkers, fans, family, friends, whatever, who are Kansas fans for the rest of the year, that's what'll really get things going. You know, I mean, you think about like Ron Prince had those wins over Texas, right? He had some really bright moments, but he went 0-for against K-State, Mizzou, and Nebraska. And so, you know, what's the legacy of Ron Prince there? Like, that's the thing that can turn it and override a lot of good things that you've done.
John, you know what? Let's talk about one thing positive before we get you out of here. So Rob and I were looking at this top 100 ranked college basketball player list. Jeff Borzillo, ESPN, they put it out. I saw a K-State player in the top 15. I had to do a double take. This PJ Haggerty kid, he's supposed to be a hooper.
He is, man. I don't. You're not watching college hoops, C-Dot? You didn't watch PJ Haggerty?
I didn't know I didn't know it was like this. I didn't know we were talking about like legitimately one of the best players in college basketball. I knew he was a prize recruit. I was surprised to see him that high up on the list, I will admit.
Yeah, I mean, look, like Andy Katz has been putting him in the top 10 for a while now. I think he will be a very good player. I do think there is still like, hey, he is coming up a bit of a level in terms of competition. Like, how will that work? I still think the overall roster, the composition is not ideal, although it's kind of the inverse of last year, which is a better problem to have. I think they have more in the backcourt this year, whereas last year it was like a bunch of threes, fours, and fives, and you were like, how is this going to work? And it didn't. Now they're going to be light inside. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how they're going to rebound, but I do feel pretty good about the backcourt and the level of talent that they have there, and PJ Haggerty is one of those guys. I mean, Abdi Bashir is the one who's been drawn a ton of praise from the coaching staff, both internally and now externally. Saw that echoed at Media Days this week. They say he's going to be the best shooter in the country. You know, we'll see. They said that about Brendan Hawson, too, last year. Kind of Coach Tang's thing. I almost wish he wouldn't do that to set the expectation bar that high, but that's how he's going to roll. So, yeah, Bashir. And then I would watch out for Elias Rapik, who's the one of the Euros that they brought in this year. German kid who was playing at a pretty high level overseas. So they have high expectations for him too, and he's kind of, you know, probably going to play the four. I think they need him to be really good. He's a guy that has to hit. Andre Kostic too is probably going to come off the bench. I mean, he's been mocked in the first round by some places next year. It's kind of like a Igor Demin sort of kid who played at BYU last year, who wound up being a draft pick, who took a little time to get going and is young, right? Like, that's the thing with Kostic. He's young. I think maybe some maturity issues that he's fighting, but if they can get him to hit on his potential, like, they've got some guys that could be really good hoopers on this team this year, but it's a question of how does it all come together. We saw them try and do it last year with largely disastrous results outside of like 3 weeks where they played like the best team in the country.
That is our guy, John Kurtz, joining us on the show. He's with the 3-Mall podcast. John, I've decided I'm being neutral in this game. Now, I do think KU is going to win. They're at home. They got the better quarterback. It feels like it's time. But I will say, being able to bond with you on Saturday in KU fan trauma is something I'm looking forward to.
Well, yeah, and it's probably going to happen on the heels of a loss to Mizzou tonight, C-Dot. So, like, I, you know, just pray for me this weekend, buddy, okay?
Okay, I will do my best. That is our guy, John Kurtz, joining us on the show today. Our college football coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners, they're teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your favorite college team. Catch every play and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanners locations. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. Coming up on the other side, we try to put into context how long it's been since K-State has lost to KU. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nate Taylor of The Athletic. All right. So I asked Rob to do in drive fashion. I asked him to cook up a segment. I haven't heard these. I don't know. I don't know the answer to these questions. It's been a long time since Kansas has beaten Kansas State in a football game. I mean, it's been a real long time. How long, in fact? This was the number one song in the country the last time Kansas was victorious over the Wildcats.
Bacon like a good one, but I call them like I see them. I know what you are, baby. Womanizer, woman, womanizer, you're a womanizer.
Oh, took me a minute to catch the rhythm. Took me a minute. I was like, what is this?
This is... It's Britney, but it's not a song anyone ever remembers Britney did.
Yeah, this was... The Britney run was ending when this song was popular. That's not a good song. Britney's got some good ones. That's not one of the better... Britney Spears
it
records.
Might be the song that ended the run.
Yeah, it was over. What would you say is peak Britney Spears? Do you think the peak was the beginning?
I think the peak was the beginning. Or are you saying like Toxic is the peak?
I mean, I think that's the other conversation. Is Toxic the peak of Britney Spears?
I think the beginning is the peak. Because like you get Oops, I Did It Again.
I know what it is actually. It's Crossroads. When she was in the movie Crossroads, yeah, that's the peak.
I knew you'd say that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of
the beginning though. That's when she's still early in her career.
Yeah. When I think of great American cinema, I mean, we've made some good movies in this country. Crossroads might be near the top.
Crossroads has a surprising amount of star power considering what it was. Like, isn't Dan Aykroyd her dad in that movie?
Yeah, it is.
Like, what?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Is that an SNL movie? Like, there's so many questions I have about that movie.
It's like Pulp Fiction for teenage girls. That's the level of cinema that it is. It's a phenomenal movie. All right, that was the top song. Please delete that. I never want to hear that song again. I don't want to be anywhere where they're playing that song by Britney Spears.
Can you imagine if, like... This was November 1st of 08. If, like, the Hawk on this weekend, if KU wins, like, we're going to play the top song and Womanizer pops on, people are going to look around
the
like...
The kids will be like, I've never heard this song before.
They'll be like, who is this? Oh, that one girl on Instagram who's always topless? What is going on?
All right, we're not going to disrespect Britney Spears like that. Not on my watch. Not at all. All right, here is the top television show. I'm just going to go out on a limb and I'm going to guess it was American Idol.
Some sort of window to your right. She goes left.
This is Grey's Anatomy, right?
Grey's Anatomy was the top TV show in America the last time Kansas beat Kansas State in football. By the way, still on the air.
It is? How many seasons of Grey's Anatomy are we at?
I truly don't know.
It's like Law and Order. It just doesn't end.
I was watching, it must have been college football, because I was watching ABC, and they had a promo for the new season of Grey's Anatomy. And I was like, how? How is that still a thing?
All right, hold on. I want to, hold
25
on.
Seasons?
How many episodes of Grey's Anatomy do you think there have been?
Oh,
text line real
Moses.
Quick. How many episodes of Grey's Anatomy do you think there's been? All right, I'm going to look it up right now.
Okay.
How would you guess, Rob? I'm not going to look up seasons. All right, I'm going to guess.
You're going to go, this is episodes, not seasons.
Yeah, episodes. How many episodes of Grey's Anatomy has there been? I'm going to guess 292.
I'm going to go way over that. I'm going to say like 400.
All right, let me look it up. I'm pulling it up right now. 450 yep. episodes of Grey's Anatomy. 450. There have been 22 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
I was doing 20 times 20 in my head.
Are they still at the same hospital? How many different heart attack storylines can they have?
What I'm starting to think is Seattle must be the most dangerous place in America if this hospital is always so busy.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm trying to figure it out.
How does Mike Sulk make it to work every day without ending up in the hospital?
Because goodness gracious,
every other human on earth apparently has in Seattle.
Where's Katherine Heigl at? She's still around?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Katherine Heigl. She had a good little run. You want to know when
Mini
it ended?
Run.
You want to know when it ended for Katherine Heigl when I felt like people turned on her? I felt like for a lot of people, our first introduction to Katherine Heigl was in Knocked Up. And then afterwards, you tried to act like she was too good to be in the movie. I'm like, yeah, I don't like that. I'm just not a big fan of that. Why are you acting like this? We all loved you in Knocked Up. You were great. Doorman, you were great.
I'm trying to think of another movie she's even in after that.
She did that one romantic comedy with Gerard Butler.
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I remember the concept behind it, but those are the two movies.
Was that The Ugly Truth?
Yeah, it is The Ugly Truth.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, I was curious.
That wasn't very good, but yeah.
Katherine Heigl, 46. Shout out to Katherine. 27 Dresses she also was in. Yeah. Right, Katherine Heigl, all right.
I mean, what's her face? Ellen Pompeo still on Grey's Anatomy, so.
Who?
That's the main girl.
I only know Katherine Heigl.
She's the love interest in Old School.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I ain't seen Old School in a very, very long time.
She's been doing Grey's Anatomy ever since then.
Yeah, good point. Some consistent checks. She like Ice-T. Ice-T got on Law & Order and was like, I'm just going to do this until the wheels fall off. As long as Olivia Benson is still doing it, I'll continue to do Law & Order SVU. All right. So that was the top song. That was the top TV show. Here was the top movie in the country the last time the KU beat K-State in a football game. All right, which Saw is this?
I'm gonna say, can you guess which Saw it was?
Nah.
It's not Saw 1.
I can't. I don't know.
This is Saw 5. Now, I watched the trailer earlier today.
Okay.
I don't think Jigsaw was in Saw 5.
Saw 5?
This was Saw 5. How many are we at now? 9?
I think they're at 10.
Oh, obviously.
Now, let's look it up.
Does that count the Chris Rock one where it was kind of Saw, but not really Saw?
That was a good one. All right, I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Because I watched the trailer and I was loading the audio.
Yeah, we're at 10. 10 came out in 23. I thought we were at 10.
I was loading the audio in. I have no recollection of Saw 5. I don't recognize any actors in it.
They were coming out every year. We got a Saw movie from 2004 to 2010. Every year they were dropping a new Saw.
It was
like Madden. They were doing Madden updates on Saw.
Think about it. KU beat K-State on November 1st, 2008. It's Halloween. Of course Saw is the top movie in theaters at that point.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. The first Saw is incredible. I like the second one too, but after that it got kind of goofy.
Yeah,
but
it's just finding weird ways to kill people at that point.
Yeah, I kind of hated it once it got to like, I felt like at least in the first two, it was kind of like psychological, like, all right, you got to make a choice. Then I feel like in the more recent one, it's like, all right, we're going to strap you up to this thing. You got 15 seconds. Oh, no one's figuring it out. They're dead. What are we doing here? I felt like in the first one, it was like, all right, hey, you got an hour, and it's like we're following this back and forth. I don't know. I really like the first Saw, and I like the second one too. But after that, they just got kind of goofy to me. Have you seen any of them? I know you don't
like scary
movies.
I've seen the first two.
All right.
And then my friends told me that it goes from psychological thriller to gory nonsense, and I don't need to go sign up for gory nonsense.
They're currently working on 11.
How many times has Jigsaw is like Michael Myers?
He got to be dead.
He had cancer in the first one. That's the whole premise.
I'm telling you, he's got to be dead. Then they started having like his descendants. I'm like, bro, all right, it's over. Like, we got to find a new movie series here. We got this person was a patient of his and a prequel. What are we doing? This is not what we need to be continuing this movie franchise. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Nate Taylor of ESPN is going to join us in studio. There's a lot to talk to him about. How active does he think the Chiefs are going to be in the trade deadline? Is there any update on Josh Simmons? Is this as well as the Chiefs have played in 4 years? There's a lot to talk about with Nate Taylor. Really happy to have him on the show. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. So drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.